A pleasant and blessed morning to all of you, our brothers and sisters in Central Mountains Baptist Church. Thank you so much for having me again, and it is my joy and privilege to bring to us the Word of God. So from our home to your homes, we would like to bring you the Christmas greetings that we would like to share with everybody, especially that we celebrate one Lord, one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we dive into the Word of God this morning, I'd like to thank you for praying for us, for you who have been praying for Sue and her pregnancy. Thank you so much. We have had our ultrasound last week, I believe, and we praise the Lord that the little baby girl that we have in there is healthy, and we are expecting the baby in April. And thank you also for praying for Paige, celebrated her birthday last month. And she enjoyed her birthday. She loves the beach and taking dips at the pool and just enjoying the water. So thank you so much, you guys, for just continually upholding us with your prayers. Even the ministry here in the Philippines has been wonderfully blessed by the Lord. And we praise the Lord for that. I myself celebrated my birthday last week, and I thank God for another year He has given me. And I'm so looking forward for another year that God will give me in the ministry, and soon it will be with you. And so continue to pray for us, please, and do know that we are also praying for you all. You are in our prayers, you are in our hearts, and what we have is true excitement and blessedness just thinking about being with you soon. But for now, thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you. And again, rest assured that you are in our constant prayers. And so let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The title of our message this morning is God's Heavenly Host. God's Heavenly Host. So let's read this passage before us. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The Word of God tells us, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Let's pray and commit this time of preaching and study to the Lord. Oh Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this another opportunity to study your word. We're going to study, O Lord, this book that you have given to us, which is powerful and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the means by which you will sanctify us. That's what you've said in John 17:17, sanctify them by your word. Thy word is truth. I pray, O Lord, that with the truths we're going to learn today, we will truly become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us focus now on your word. Help us to eliminate all emotions and attitudes and thoughts that will not raise the name of Christ. Glorify your name in our midst, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dearly beloved, we know that the Bible story about Christmas involves a lot of personalities, a lot of different types of people, a lot of characters. We know, of course, we have the primary character, which is Jesus, and we have Mary, we have Joseph, and we have the shepherds here that we see in our passage, and yet we also have the angels. And so this morning, I'd like to focus, zero in our attention into this created beings of God that's so magnificent. And hopefully, our admiration of their greatness will only be subordinate to the admiration that we have for God. And that this will result to praising the Lord for this wonderful creatures that He had made. And so, May I ask you this morning as we begin, do you believe in angels? I think the more important question is this, because I know you believe in angels, because it is something that the Bible tells us that exists, right? But let me ask you, what do you believe about angels? You know, a poll by Barnard Research Group in 2000 reflected that 81% of the adults polled believed that angels exist and influence people's lives. The problem maybe is not in believing in the existence of angels, but in what we believe about them. There are a lot of misconceptions about angels. Like, for example, number one, that angels have baby characteristics, because we see paintings and pictures of this everywhere, right? In the internet, even the ceiling of some famous churches or cathedrals out there. They have this baby face, they have these baby bodies. This is truly not biblical at all. A second misconception was probably be that angels wear halos. You know, common symbol of sun gods of ancient paganism. This is also not set forth in the Word of God. Another misconception about angels is that people, the good people, will become angels when they die. This is a cute, comforting thought, especially for parents whose baby dies. And this is what some people can even claim, that their baby will transform into an angel when they die. But listen, no matter how cute that sounds, that is not what the Bible teaches about angels. People are people. Angels are angels. There are two different groups. People will never be angels. And angels, yes, can have some kind of manly or human characteristics, but they are not human beings. They are totally different groups of people. And so, this morning, I'd like us to take a moment here in Luke chapter 2 and discuss who are these angels. Now, the background of this, dearly beloved, of course, that there were some shepherds in the countryside who are there watching over their flock. And it says here in the passage in verse number 8 that it was nighttime. So they're in the fields, it's nighttime, most probably they were already resting, the taking care of the sheep has been done, the sheep had eaten, the sheep had drunk water, they were ready to just take the night off. But of course, they're there watching over the sheep. And verse 9 tells us, and behold is a very important term here, dearly beloved. In fact, if you see the word behold every time you read the scriptures, you need to really concentrate and look at the next few words, because behold is a term that the Bible uses to attract attention, to arrest our mind to focus. And so here the Bible tells us, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before these shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone around about these shepherds. And of course, the reaction of the shepherds was that they were greatly afraid. Listen, this is not a commonality that you would see angels every single day of your lives. In fact, for 400 years, that experience from the Old Testament has been done away. Those 400 years had been the silent years. There were no revelation from God. There were no angels bringing messages from the Lord. And so this was something unusual for the shepherds to experience. That's why it really resulted to them being afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Wonderful words from the angel. Don't be afraid. For behold, here's another behold. The angel says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." It's not just about you, shepherds. It's for all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, it's not just one angel that appears to them. "And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Oh, how I would love to be one of those shepherds, dearly beloved. to have seen these angels proclaiming the great, wonderful news that the Savior that God has promised had already come. But this morning, let me share to us a few points about angels. As we will study this passage, we will discover important, key information about them. But as what I've prayed a while ago, dearly beloved, may our admiration for angels never ever surpass our admiration towards God. We should avoid to worshiping angels. We are never commanded that. I'll talk about that later on. But our admiration and praise and awe must always only be to God. So the first thing we learn here, dearly beloved, in verse 13 is this. The size of angels. And when I say size, it's not about their body size, but their number. How many are they? Verse 13. It says here, and suddenly there was with the angel, that one angel, the angel of the Lord, then came a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And they were saying, and these words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Dearly beloved, the word of God tells us here that there was a multitude of angels. That word multitude is the Greek word plethos. Plethos. Where we get our English word plethora. Plethora. If you've heard of this word, if you've used this word before, you know it. It means a great number. A great number. And another word here that the Bible uses is not only multitude, but also the word host. Look at your Bibles in verse number 13. A multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. And host here is the Greek word strateia. Strateia, meaning an army. So if you take these two Greek words, plethos and strateia, plethora and an army, you would automatically have this concept that this group of angels is a great number of armies. Not just a few hundreds, most probably. We're thinking, dearly beloved, of thousands of angels. The angels which appeared to the shepherds did not actually just comprise the entire heavenly angels yet. We would like to believe that this was just a fraction of the entire angelic army. In talking about armies, dearly beloved, biblical passages suggest rank and orderliness of companies and divisions within the heavenly armies. So, the heavenly armies, or we call here the hosts, of course, is controlled and led by God Himself. They don't have any other captain but God. He is the Lord of hosts, or His name is Lord Almighty. In Hebrew, it is Lord Sabaoth. Lord Sabaoth. That name is mentioned in the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Remember the stanza where it's mentioned? It says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which tells us that He is the captain of the heavenly armies, the thousands of the heavenly armies. Lord Sabaoth is His name. There are other passages which tell of the big population of angels. One passage is Matthew 18, verse number 10. Matthew 18, verse number 10. That passage has been studied by biblical scholars. And the biblical scholars would tell us the possibility that each little one, each little child, or a boy or a girl has their own angel reporting to God about that boy or girl. Today, there are 2.2 billion children all over the world. We have a total of around 9 billion people today. Just think about this. If this is truly what it is, then there can be 2.2 billion angels serving the Lord in this capacity, from Matthew 18, verse 10. Now we jump to Matthew 26, verse 53. Remember this time when Jesus was being arrested? And Peter the compulsive disciple pulled out the sword and cut off one of the soldier's ear. And Jesus told him, Peter, there is no need for violence. You don't need to defend me, Peter. For, Jesus Christ says, if I ask, the Father is ready and can give me more than 12 legions of angels. Now, what is a legion? A legion can have an average of 5,000 to 10,000 soldiers or angels. So listen, dearly beloved, 12 legions of angels, if you multiply it, of course, to 10,000, is 120,000 angels. That's what Christ said to Peter. Peter, you don't need to defend me because 120 angels will be right here in our midst defending me if I ask the Heavenly Father. That's how many angels at one command will be there to defend Jesus. Wow, so many angels, dearly beloved. And we go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 mentions the term many angels. Many angels. And also the terms 10,000 times 10,000. And also the phrase thousands of thousands, describing the number of angels that was present there. And this is at least 100 million angels. Dearly beloved, 100 million angels. Some scholars suggest, since the phrase heavenly host, mentioning the phrase heavenly host, is also used to refer to stars, that the number of angels then are like the number of the stars. Now, how many stars do we have in the entire universe? In the southern and western on the southern and the northern hemisphere, we belong to the northern hemisphere, you belong to the southern hemisphere, I believe, we can visibly see around 6,000 stars. The Milky Way galaxy, where we belong, contains 200,000 million stars. The total number of stars in the observable universe is estimated to be 10 raised to 25. Listen to this, church. That is one, the number one, followed by 25 zeros. Can you grasp that number? One with 25 zeros? That's how great the number of angels is. I can't even count that many, dearly beloved. Jeremiah 33, verse 22, and Hebrews 12, 32 tell us that they are even innumerable. We cannot count them. And by the way, church, the Bible tells us that all angels were created by God at once. At once. Yet, listen to this, they're created individually. I can't grasp that. How can God do that? Well, He's God, dearly beloved. He can do that. There's nothing impossible with Him. You can find it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The terms thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, those terms refer to angels. Now, we do not know for certain when they were created, but we can only deduce that they were created not later than day 3 of the creation week. Check Job 38, verses 4 to 7. But dearly beloved, just grasp that. That's the showcase of God's power, creating all of these millions or even billions of angels. Now, we also realize, dearly beloved, that angels are very personal beings. They have emotion, intellect, and will. They are very intelligent spirit beings. So, we cannot see them because they're spirit beings, right? Unless we are given the opportunity to see their temporary given form. Again, in the Old Testament, they were given temporary human forms. Abraham and Lot are just two of the few people who were given the chance to see angels. Hebrews 13 verse 2 cautions us, dearly beloved, that we should not forget to entertain strangers. Why? Because we might not be aware. These are angels that God sends to us. Another thing we learn about angels is that they do not marry. Since angels do not have sex, they don't have gender, and so they do not reproduce, unlike us, human beings, we reproduce. Angels do not have what you call sons of angels. That's never found in the scriptures. Unlike in the scriptures, sons of men is mentioned many times. Matthew 22 verse 30, Luke 20 verse 34 to 36, We see those passages mentioning that we have sons of men but never sons of angels. And of course, how can we miss the point that angels are powerful? They have power. But of course, they're not omnipotent like God. They're not all powerful like God. But we need to understand that they are more powerful than us, human beings. In fact, one interesting story can be found in 2 Kings chapter 9. What happens in 2 Kings chapter 9? What we have there is a beautiful showcase of the power of one angel. There was a time when the army of Assyria, under the rulership of King Sennacherib, was planning to destroy Jerusalem. Now, to avoid this devastation, King Hezekiah paid tribute to him, hoping that he will not continue his plan of destroying Jerusalem. But did King Sennacherib listen to King Hezekiah? No, he did not. He did not only listen to King Hezekiah, but he also insulted him. And he also defied the Lord. Now, although King Hezekiah was distressed, the prophet Isaiah was sent by God to him to give him comfort, telling him, do not be afraid. And do you know what the Lord did on that same night? He sent one angel into the camp of the Assyrian army. And that night, scriptures tells us that that angel killed 185,000 soldiers. Imagine that. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army. And you know, there's a very funny, for me, it's a funny verse there in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35b. And even in Isaiah 37, verse 36. Because it tells us here, there, when they woke up, behold, they were all dead. It's just funny to me that when they woke up, behold, they see that they're all, oh, we're all dead. You know, sometimes the scriptures put these words in like a funny way for our perspective, but that only showcases the magnificent power of the angel, which tells us the captain of the heavenly army, who is omnipotent, is truly more powerful. That's only one angel, dearly beloved. And imagine this, multiply that by the billions. Now you see how powerful angels are. But again, never, never, ever more powerful than God. Their power is even just subordinate to the power of God. So that's the number of angels. That's some of the information we can know about angels. And the second thing we know, we notice here in our passage, in verse 13, is not only their size. We see that there are many billions, most probably, but we also see their purpose. Look at verse number 13 in our passage. The word of God says there that they were sent by God to praise God, to glorify God. Look at verse number 13. When they appeared to the shepherds, they were praising God, and they were saying, the angels have one purpose and purpose alone, and that purpose is to praise God, the Lord who created them. They were created to be God's worshiper. Psalm 148, 1 through 5 lists there who must praise God. And one of the created beings there are the angels. Praise Him, ye angels. Psalm 103, verses 19 to 21, the same thing. The psalmist says, praise Him, glorify Him, you angels. If you go to the call of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, you see there that they are flying around the throne of God and they were praising the holiness of God. Revelation 4, verses 6 to 9, we see again the angels praising God, praising the Lamb. In some religions, dearly beloved, angels are adored and even portrayed or even prayed to and even given acts of worship. Listen, that is against God's law. This is contrary to the purpose and the desire of righteous angels. God's angels recognize that only God is to be worshipped. That is there embedded truly in a clear way in Exodus chapter 20 verse 3. You must only worship God and God alone. You should not worship any other being created. They refused even to be worshipped by man. Revelation 19 verse 10 and Revelation 22, 8 to 9. You will see that even though people bow down to them and worship them, they will say, don't worship us, don't bow down to us. We are just like you, created beings. This worship of angels is not a new practice, dearly beloved. In fact, the Apostle Paul warned that some in the Colossian church were being deceived by other Christians during this time to worship angels. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 18. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 18. Angel worship was common in that time. It says, Paul says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. See, Paul warns them, do not be deceived when people tell you you will worship angels because they're not supposed to be worshipped. Well, God's angels will reject such worship. There are other angels, of course, as we know the entire biblical narrative, that they wanted to be greatly worshipped. These demons, and even Satan himself, these spirits, even disguise themselves as angels of light because they want to receive worship. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. But here in our passage, dear beloved, here in the Christmas story, it's clear. We are told here that when they appeared before the shepherds, they were not praising themselves. They were not asking the shepherds to praise them. They were by themselves praising God. So angels were created to praise God. But also angels were created to be God's messengers. One way to praise God, their creator, is that they will need to obey what God tells them to do. And one of their roles as angels is that they should be messengers of God. And you see the word they're saying. When they appeared before the shepherds, they were praising God and they were saying. And really that's the meaning of the word angel. Angel in Hebrew, malach, or in Greek, agelos or angelos, both means messenger. Messenger. In the Christmas story, they were sent by God to bring different messages to Joseph, to Mary, to Zacharias, and of course here, to the shepherds. Now, aside from the message of the angel of the Lord in verses 10 to 12, the host of angels also had a message, and their message is the message of glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest is what some songs you would hear would render it in Latin, Gloria in excelsis, excelsis Deo. You would hear this often in Christmas carols, in Christmas cantatas. Gloria in excelsis Deo. A statement affirming that the plan of salvation, reconciliation, and peace bring highest glory or honor to God. That's the meaning of that. And then they also further say, to earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Meaning, God brings eternal peace to man whom God is well pleased or favored or graced. That's their message. So here we see the message of the angel to the shepherds, and we see the message of the host of the heavenly army to all men, not only to the shepherds, but to all men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And lastly, dearly beloved, we learn here that the angels were created to be God's ministers or servants. One way of them truly magnifying their creator is that they are ready to serve God whenever God gives them work to do, an assignment to be done. Angels do whatever God commissions them to do. Here in Luke chapter 2, they were commissioned by God to the shepherds, to tell the shepherds what did that angel, the angel of the Lord, tell the shepherds here. Let's read it again. Of course, first, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. For behold, the angel of the Lord tells them I bring you good tidings of great joy. Yes, I bring you this tidings, this great joy, a great news of great joy. But this is not just for you, but it's going to be for all people. And he continues, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In other words, they were telling, or he was, or this angel was telling the shepherds, the prophecy had been fulfilled. Today, you will see that God fulfills his promise, because today, God gives to humanity the Savior that he has promised, and he is going to be born in the city of David as promised. He's going to be a Savior as promised, and he is Christ the Lord. And there's a sign. There's a sign. And then you will see here, of course, that they will go there. They will see this wonderful sign that was given to them. And the sign was that you will find this babe, this Savior, this Christ the Lord, because he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The message was very specific. So, dearly beloved, we must understand that angels are God's unseen servants or ministers. They serve God by doing what he tells them to do. Look at Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. As we see here, what God tells the angels to do, they truly do it, because they are just servants of the Lord. The Bible tells us, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible or invisible. That includes the angels, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Again, those are terms used to refer to angels. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, beloved, really, the angels just wait for the bidding of Christ. They're under the authority of Christ, and they are there to serve Christ. What are some of the ministries of the angels that God would tell them to do? Well, Hebrews 1:14 tells us that they serve the saved ones in behalf of God. They serve the saved ones. We, the Christians, we have that opportunity to be served by the angels of the Lord. Look at the verse. It tells us here, are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? See, we may not know this. We may not know that there were angels, but there are times that God will send angels to serve us. That's how privileged we are as part of God's family. I don't know if you've experienced that out of nowhere somebody served you, somebody helped you in a dramatic way, in a special way, and you have never seen that man, you have never met the man or that lady, but they have helped you. You don't know if they're angels, because God sends them to serve us. The second way on how they serve God is that they protect those who fear the Lord. We see that in Psalm 37 verse 4, Psalm 91 verse 11, and even in the life of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6 verse 22. But let's look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 34 verse number 7. Psalm 34 verse number 7. And we see here the Bible tells us the ministry of the angels of God protecting those who fear the Lord. 34 verse number 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I even heard a story of a missionary, dearly beloved, carrying medicine, I believe. And the situation was that he was not able to arrive on his destination with the medicines. He needed to rest on some secluded forest of some sort. And so he needs to spend time there with medicines that he was carrying. And so when he was resting there, unbeknownst to him, there were a lot of people who were planning to attack him and to rob him. But those evil men, when they were trying to draw close to him and plan evil things against his missionary, when they were closing in, they realized that there were a lot of this shining people surrounding that man, and they were very afraid because of that, and their evil plan was never pushed through, and that missionary was able to go carry those medicines. I believe that's the story, and it even is connected to the ministry of prayer of some church where they were so burdened to pray for that missionary, and God sent angels to protect that missionary. Dearly beloved, that's one of the ministries of angels towards us. They protect us, those who fear the Lord. Then another ministry of the angels is to bring provision in time of need. They bring provision in time of need. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 to 7. Let's go there, dearly beloved. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 to 11. We see here that the angels can also be God's ministers in terms of providing the needs of His people. It says here in 1 Kings 19, 5 to 7, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree," we're talking here, dearly beloved, about Elijah the prophet, when Queen Jezebel was hunting him down. "He slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." So here's an angel of the Lord delivering to Elijah food and water. See, God also uses these angels to bring supplies and provision. Another ministry of the angels is that they fight demonic beings. And we find that in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Of course, there is a spiritual warfare happening. And when God commands his angels to fight those spirits who have rebelled against God, they would. And we know, there's no question about this, which angels will win. Of course, the angels of God will win because they are under the power of the Almighty God. Don't believe those movies, dearly beloved, which showcase another the angel of the Lord and Satan or the demons, and that they would fight, and then the angel of the Lord will be defeated in some way at some time. Never. Our God will always be victorious. And last ministry of the angels is that they carry out God's judgment. Remember Genesis chapter 19? Genesis chapter 19. We find there, I believe, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19. Let's open it there, please. Genesis 19, verse 11. Genesis 19, verse 11. It says here, and God says, sorry, Genesis 11, or I mean 19. Verse number 11. It says here, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." This is the instance in Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels of the Lord went into the house of Lot. And you know what happened here? The men of the city went there being so engrossed with their lust, with their immorality, and they wanted to have sexual relations with these angels. But the angels smote the men that were at the door. They smote the men with blindness as a form of judgment to them. So here, dearly beloved, we see that the angels serve the Lord. As we end this morning, oh dear heaven, dear church, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are so excited about seeing angels, aren't we? I am, because of this study right now and this heavenly host, this heavenly army of God. It's so magnificent. They're amazing. They're powerful. They're beautiful. They're wise. But may we not forget, they are only servants of God. They only serve God like we do. Let's meditate upon their roles, who they are, how great a number they are, and what roles they had in the story of Christmas. May we also reflect, firstly, about the God who created them. God created these angels. They are powerful, yes, but our God is more powerful. He's the captain of the heavenly host. He deserves our worship, not the angels. I pray that today, this information about angels would result in our hearts a greater desire to worship the God who created these magnificent beings. May we praise God for His creativity and magnificent power in creating this angelic host. Then the second, not only that we would worship God because of these angels that He created, but that like the angels, messengers as they are, we should also remember that we ourselves are messengers of God. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must take heed of our responsibility to proclaim the good news of salvation everywhere. May that be our concern today, tomorrow, next year, even as we look forward to the church ministries God will give to us, whether this pandemic extends or not. Dearly beloved, let us not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the angels were not ashamed to proclaim the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not be ashamed of proclaiming the salvation that Christ offers. May it be a part of our daily lives. If we can talk about a lot of things, if we can talk about our children, we can talk about our families, we can talk about show business, we can talk about our own business, we can talk about our achievements to other people so easily, I hope that we can also talk about, proclaim the great salvation offered by Christ. The third, not only we should worship Christ, we should preach Christ, but just like the angels, the multitude of hosts serving Christ, we must also remember our lives have only one purpose, that is to glorify Christ by serving Him. That's my responsibility. That's my purpose as a Christian. And oh, I pray, dearly beloved, that each one of us today will see in our hearts a desire to tell God, Lord, how can I serve You? Lord, how can this life, simple as it is, maybe some people may consider me as not so important. Maybe people may say I'm too old, or I'm too young, I'm too immature, or I don't have talents, I'm not so rich like the others, I'm not so well educated. But whatever background you may have, wherever you may be right now, as far as your economic standing is concerned, your financial standing is concerned, how old you are, or even talking to the kids right now, or even to the teenagers right now, you must understand, just like the angels, we are created to serve Christ. Find your service. Find where or what area you can serve God through your life. Maybe offering a song to God for your carol service. Maybe being a witness for Christ. Maybe being an encourager. Maybe somebody who can help in the multimedia. Maybe somebody who can help in the music ministry of the church. Maybe you can assist Pastor Wayne. Maybe you can assist the church leaders. Maybe you can pray. Maybe you can disciple someone. Everyone has the opportunity to serve. All you need to have is the willingness of heart to serve Christ. You must decide on this, dearly beloved. And you must live your life serving Christ. We have only one life to live. It's one of my favorite songs says, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Maybe, dearly beloved, as you look back this year, your life was just serving yourself. Christ was never a part of your life. There was never serving Christ in your life. But I hope that this Christmas season, you will make a resolution in your heart to serve Him, so that next year will be different. Next year, it will be about the service of our Almighty King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, dearly beloved, remember, we live to worship Christ. We live to preach Christ. We live to serve Christ. Let's learn from the lives or from the examples of the righteous angels. They worship Christ. They preach Christ. They serve Christ. Will you do so as well? Father God, oh, we thank you for these magnificent creatures that we have learned about today. And we are so blessed to be able to learn that you are the captain of these wonderful creatures, beautiful and powerful. And so, Lord, our lives must not be about them, must be about you. Help us indeed to be just like them, to worship you, to proclaim you, to preach you, and to serve you, O God. Bless CMBC, O Lord, that this must be what is showcased in our community, that Christ in CMBC is indeed made eminent, that He must be the Lord that the church serves. Lord, bless each family you're listening to this message today. Maybe there are mothers and fathers, children, teenagers. May these words truly will have a space in their hearts, where it will grow and bear fruit in our lives. Help us to apply this today so that we can live for your glory and honor alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, advance Merry Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope to see you all soon. God bless.